You know, man, you actually, I don't get it. I mean,
I'll tell you what, Eddie. Eddie, come on. I want to believe you've changed. I want to believe it, man. All these people want to believe you have changed. But I got to say this. I got to say this, and I want you to hear me. In all my time dealing with evolution, I grew eyes in the back of my head. And I am always watching you. And if you try to screw me, if you're lying to me, if you stab me in the back, I'm going to hurt you.
I wouldn't expect anything less. The Bautista I know would actually hurt someone, lame someone. Do you think I'm that stupid? Do you think I'm that dumb? I tell you what, Dave, I don't blame you for doubting me. But Sunday, I'm gonna prove to you, and I'm gonna prove to the whole world that I am a changed person, that I am a new man.
Ruthless aggression.
Sit right here and bide my time, as long as it takes to get what's mine. And I won't be denied. All I got left is my pride, and I will rise up, breaking out, break you down, break the rules, break the ground.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 93 of the RE Era podcast, the only place where we decipher and dictate the era that rose out of the ashes of attitude and delivered us the worst state of the tag team division that it's ever been.
Yeah.
Right, and I'm talking like worse than Air Boom. Do you remember that era?
Yeah.
Because they were bad then.
Completely shit.
But this is terrible.
And this is when we've got two brands.
Terrible. Utter atrocious. As it's time to build towards our next pay-per-view, No Mercy 2005. As always, I'm Dave, and as always, joining me is Big Sexy. The tag team division really irritates me. It really does. Like the fact that our next pay-per-view is bad anyway. Like, it really is. This one's a bad one, right? So the tag team, the tag belts on SmackDown aren't even defended. It's a six-man.
Yeah. But when, you know, the tag champs are... A guy who should have hung up the boots and a guy who should never put on the boots.
Well. Michael, breaking news. September the 21st, 2005. According to John Laurinaitis, who was the Vice President of Talent Relations for World Wrestling Entertainment, Mark Carpani, a.k.a. Mohamed Hassan, and WWE have decided to go their separate ways. Carpani, who was last seen at the Great American Bash in late July, had nothing but positive remarks about the WWE experience in a recent phone interview. He said, "I have great appreciation for WWE and the way they treated me. Everybody took care of me more than they ever had to. I had a great deal of gratitude for the McMahons, the people in the office and the boys in the locker room. I have absolutely no grievance in the way that everything played out. In fact, the split was very amicable. I just thought that it was in my best interest as well as WWE's best interest for us to go our separate ways."
It's not even getting a repackage.
Bad,
poor lad.
Bad, isn't it? Bad. Such a shame. Such a waste. There's so many what ifs
fucking
and what
Palestinians.
Could be's. Yeah, so many. That's racist. Michael. Daniel Puder has been released from the WWE.
Well, I've not seen him since fucking Rumble.
Puder, who won last season's Tough Enough on SmackDown and was awarded a 1-year guaranteed contract with a 3-year extension option. Obviously, WWE have declined to exercise the option of a 3-year extension.
Well, it lasted a month on TV and then...
Yeah, he got... He's
don't try and shoot Kurt Angle.
I was going to say, yeah, I'd think it's more... If he wouldn't have done that with Kurt Angle, then maybe...
And his attitude.
Maybe he would have given a chance. But right, but the fact that he did that with Kurt Angle and then it was like, I'm going to win the Royal Rumble. I'm in the main event. But anyway, are you ready for some Monday Night Raw?
I am ready.
So the last time we were with the Raw brand, it was Unforgiven. We've got brand new IC champion, Ric Flair, had his way with multiple women. It was, overall, it wasn't the worst pay-per-view. But
it was a three-hour Viagra commercial.
Yeah, but it was a B-show pay-per-view. But it, like I said, No Mercy. Like, obviously, No Mercy has its sort of, you look at it with a heavy heart because it's Eddie Guerrero's final pay-per-view. Yeah. But take that away from it, it's a fucking atrocious thing.
So this is Eddie's last pay-per-view build, technically.
Yes, definitely. So apparently tonight on Raw, we're going to see Trish Stratus versus Tori Wilson. We're going to get a rematch from last night, Ric Flair and Carlito for the IC title. And in the main event, it's going to be Shawn Michaels, John Cena, Matt Hardy and The Big Show versus Edge, Chris Masters, Kurt Angle and Snitsky. Survivor Series. You know what really annoys me about 4-on-4?
It's not elimination. Yeah.
It really annoys
But it's 1-4 to a finish. Like, it's just an overbooking mess.
Yeah, definitely. Eric Bischoff comes out and he has a smile on his face as he carries the WWE title over his shoulder.
Oh, I've missed this belt. Oh, it's beautiful.
A non-spinning WWE title. Yeah. Like, oh.
It looks like a prize worth winning.
Eric says, after Unforgiven last night, there's a great deal of confusion as to who's the WWE champion. Well, I'm here tonight to clear all that up.
But there's no confusion.
I have a major announcement to make. Please allow me to introduce WWE's only Olympic gold medalist, Kurt Angle. And here we fucking go. It's like when he awarded it to Hunter. And he goes to award it to Kurt Angle. But then, no chance. What you got?
It's boss time.
Here comes Vince strutting down. He grabs a mic and he shakes Kurt Angle's hand as well as Bischoff's. Eric says, well, Mr. McMahon, I didn't think you were going to be here till later. I know you've got a bit of an announcement to make. And Angle's like, Eric, hold on. I'm sure he just wants to congratulate me for beating John Cena last night and putting on a hell of a show. Kurt says, Mr. McMahon, I just wanted to tell you, as your new WWE champion, I'll represent the company with the three I's, intensity, integrity, and intelligence. And Vince is like, excuse me, champion? Who named you champion, dickhead? And Kurt's like, he did.
As he points throws him straight under the bus.
Vince, could you know damn well that you don't have the authority to strip John Cena of the championship. You know damn well there's only two ways a title can change hands. Pinfall, submission, or when Christian spat at Randy Orton that time and Randy Orton kicked him in his bollocks.
Well, it's a stipulation. If you get DQ'd, you lose.
So Vince says, so you tell me what happened as a result of the championship match at Unforgiven. And Eric says, well, you see, you saw what Cena did. He put his hands on me. He attacked me. I'm the general manager. And Vince is like, shut up. I'll tell you what happened at Unforgiven. Kurt Angle defeated John Cena, but it was disqualification. Therefore, still your WWE champion as we speak, John Cena. He says, but the announcement, it doesn't concern you at the moment, because here in the ring in 2 weeks is the biggest night in Raw history. 2 weeks from tonight, there will be a WWE homecoming, which will see coming back the hardcore legend Mick Foley. Walking down the aisle will be the game, Triple H.
Raw's going to get good again.
Gracing the squared circle will be the immortal Hulk Hogan. And live in this very ring, 2 weeks from tonight, the Texas Rattlesnake Stone Cold Steve Austin. I'm like,
hell yeah.
This sounds mint. And this was straight away. I messaged Mike and I said, Mike, we're live watching it. We're doing it. So what we're going to do in this is we're going to do Raw, SmackDown. And then Homecoming is going to be its own standalone episode. It's 3 hour long and we're going to watch it with a couple of beers and we're going to have a bit of a nostalgia kick. Because I'm hoping it's one of them nights where there's going to be no storylines, no shit.
It's a feel good show.
Yeah, it's like one of them, like a tribute show when someone dies. One of them.
Yeah.
The storylines go out the window. I'm hoping it's going to be one of them. And Vince says, 2 weeks from tonight, there'll be a WWE Championship match, and I've got the authority to make it. John Cena goes one-on-one with you, Eric Bischoff. Oh, Karate Kid's getting a title match.
Well, you know, Vince still thinks, Bischoff, you wanted to fight me, so why can't you fight my champion?
Yeah. After the ad break, we've got Eric and Vince backstage. Bischoff says, I'm not a wrestler. And Vince tells him that karate, you've got that karate shit. You're all right, I've seen
you. You know karate.
Bischoff, he bitches, but Vince says he'll think about it, ops in his limo, hits the road, he goes about a yard and goes, four by it, you're still on. He's still going to get your ass kicked.
Trolling Vince is brilliant.
What did you make to the opening segment?
Nice to see Vince in 2005. Always. Not... obviously, not me, 23-4 glasses, but that's not our show.
Why are like Vince?
If he appeared at Mania, I'd cheer like fuck.
Everything Vince has done, everything Vince has been accused of doing, right, it's probably is all true, because have you not watched wrestling?
Yeah.
Because the Vince that we...
But if it weren't for Vince, no one would watch wrestling.
But it's more like, Vince is a scumbag, but has he not always been one? And didn't we accept him? Is he not, like, he's our scumbag?
I mean, he wanted the storyline where Steph's kid was his. And then she said no. And they were like, right, Shane's, no.
First match of the night, Trish Stratus versus Tori Wilson.
Tits versus tits.
Candice Michelle, she's out. She distracts the ref so Victoria can throw Trish off the rope. A roll-up by Tori gets a two. Tori starts yelling at her teammates because she's not won by their assistants. Trish with a roll-up after, not even 2 minutes. Like, why do you even bother?
But what got me... So Tori comes out to Taker's music, not her music.
Of course.
And then, but before the match, we've got to show Trish stretching, so let's put some porn music on.
Of course. Because Vince, like what we just said. Exactly what we've just been on about. after the match...
Bitches attack.
Yeah, the heels attack the faces. But Tori, she gets a face buster onto Ashley. Victoria Widow's Peak onto Trish. The heels are standing tall. And here comes our new tag team champions from last night, Lance Cade and Trevor Murdoch. Apparently, we found out one of them is going to be in singles competition tonight. Now, speaking of Lance Cade and Trevor Murdoch, we spoke about this on our last episode. I don't like tag teams that don't have tag team names.
You need a tag team name.
And just by giving them their surnames, It's not the same. It's not right. You need a tag team name. So I said we'll put it out onto Facebook and Twitter and we'll let y'all decide what we're going to call them going forward. So I'll go to Twitter first. We have for Glenn Abbott with the Savages. Thomas Austin, Hooking and Trucking.
I like that one.
Carl Walker, the Chunk and Cunt Farm Fucks. David Gray was Pretty Meaty. TJA was The Forsaken, and then Nazume Shawafle, fuck knows, Handsome Trevor Murdoch and Pretty Boy Lance Cade. So there were a few from Twitter that made me chuckle.
That's a bit of a lie, that.
I'm going to jump over to Facebook. We had Stephen Monks with the Redneck Express. We have Jeremy Joyce with Hardcore Country. Mickey James, I have an issue with that. This is my second favourite. Arthur Fletcher, Redneck Wrecking Crew.
That is good.
We had James Fretz with Brokeback Mustache Mountain. we had Jason Sienz, I feel. He had two options, Dixie Boys or Stars and Bars. And he posted a picture of that flag.
Yeah, you can guess which flag.
Tyler Maker, the Bayou Boys. And my personal favourite was James Fretz again with Southern Justice 2.0.
That's good.
But it's not up to me. It's up to you, Michael. what are we going to call Murdoch and Cade going forward?
The Chunk and Cunt Farm Fox.
There you go.
That is their name. The Chunk and Cunt.
Thank fuck it's only a singles match tonight then, because it's going to take a while for me to get used to saying that.
But is it me, or from a distance, does Murdoch's tattoo look like United badge?
Yeah, I can see that. So it is in singles competition. It's Trevor Murdoch going up against Stand Back. There is a hurricane coming through.
Trev versus Greg.
Surprisingly, this got like a couple of minutes. I think maybe three.
Yeah, considering, you know, Hurricane got dropped on his head the night before.
DDT from Murdoch gets the victory. This is your tag team division right now.
Yeah.
On Raw.
Singles match. Yeah. A tag team title V match.
There's two tag teams on Raw. There's two tag teams on SmackDown. That's the best we can offer you. We cut to Todd Grisham, who's joined by Carlito. He mentions that he's lost to Flair last night. Carlito was like, I didn't lose. The ref said I tapped out, but I was just reaching for the ropes and my hand just happened to hit the mat. Shit happens. Ric Flair did not beat Carlito, but that's okay because tonight I'm going to beat Ric Flair and once again, Carlito will be the IC champion and once again, that will be cool. I don't see it. See, I do. I come into this, I was like, does he instantly lose it again?
See, I can't remember who he loses it to.
Exactly, something I can see.
I remember he has it took for the rest of the year.
Oh, well, it's obviously not fucking Eugene. He's coming up soon. I can obviously see Carlito not winning tonight then if he holds it for the rest of the year. But I thought they could potentially be a big swerve and Carlito brings it back. Maybe a bit of assistance from Masters, maybe, or maybe. We're still in the back with Edge and he's pissed off. He's getting sick of all these damn matches. He says, Matt, you've gone too far. Needs to be fired again. And Bischoff's not happy about Edge demanding things. He says, Edge isn't the only one around here with problems. Eric's getting sick of these two knobheads, so at homecoming, one of his needs to fuck off, and we're going to have a ladder match.
He's like, what's that going to ring then?
Your contract. Yeah, so surely you need to have two contracts hanging above the ring, and you have to grab yours. If you don't grab yours, it gets torn up. That'd be the logical thing.
Yeah.
Or it'd be a contract with both their details on. And if let's say Matt Hardy doesn't win, his side of the contract gets ripped off. Yeah, I don't know. Fuck it, let's put a title up top. Up next, Tyson Tonko versus Eddie Craven, because that's exactly what Tyson Tonko needs right now, a jobber match. For what reason? We know he's wank. We don't need a showcase.
Who looks like a shit wannabe Uncle Val tribute act.
Wins under a minute. Terrible. Terrible. There's just fucking no knockout. Need for it. There's no need for it. Here comes Carlito. And up for our next match, it is the Intercontinental title rematch. Ric Flair versus Carlito. Michael, how did we get here?
Flair won the title last night. Had a great night after.
This match, to be fair, I'm surprised that they gave it for a TV match. They gave this a decent amount of time. Do you know what I mean? Because obviously with a quick rematch on TV, especially for the IC title, but it could be someone that could have been over in 30 seconds.
They still wanted to push Carlito as a possible main eventer.
Definitely. Like. That's the next crop coming up of Carlito, your Masters.
So you've got to give them time. And Flair, it's Flair. Let's just give him as long as he wants.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
He's earned that.
Yeah. What did you think compared to this match to the match at Unforgiven? Which one did you enjoy more?
I prefer the Unforgiven match. Yeah.
I feel like they were about...
But that's mainly because the Unforgiven match had that historic moment of Flair jumping off the top rope and hitting a move.
Yeah. This had it again. He did it two nights in a row.
But Unforgiven did it first.
I felt like this was a bit of a copy, carbon copy of the previous night's match. Like obviously with the same outcome, Flair gets the victory with figure four. 20 minutes it goes for. The match at Unforgiven went for about 20 minutes. You had the spots, like I said, Flair jumping off the top rope. The thing is with a Ric Flair match, Ric Flair as a character is enjoyable, right? It's a Ric Flair match is enjoyable because there's certain spots that you're looking out for. You're waiting for him to do the corner bump. You're waiting for him to get thrown off the top rope. You're waiting for him to do his flare flop.
Yeah.
You're waiting for a chop. You're waiting for another chop and then a figure four. So he is, in a way, his moveset and his style of...
Very C-disc.
It's generic. in as in not as in generic as he does just basic moves, as in every match is sort of the same.
It's got the same formula.
Yeah.
He's got to get his shit in.
But his shit is very enjoyable. That's the thing. But I don't know. I feel like once you've seen a Ric Flair, especially this year, a lot of Ric Flair matches, you've seen a lot of them. Yeah, that's exactly that. But yeah, I did enjoy it. We're backstage. Todd Grisham introduced us to Matt Hardy. Matt says, I don't think things over because tonight I stand across the ring from Edge in an 8-man match, and 2 weeks from tonight I face Edge in the Money in the Bank ladder match. Is it?
Well, this is the match for the Money in the Bank, but the loser leaves Raw.
Yeah.
Russo, what the fuck are you still doing there?
Here comes Shawn Michaels. He says, everyone's talking about you and Edge in that steel cage. They're also talking about the Heartbreak Kid and Chris Masters because Michaels proved again why he's the showstopper. And here comes the Big Show. There's only one thing around here that's big, and that's me. Here comes John Cena. He says, for the first time in history, this team wrestled together. The choke slam, if we need you. Showstopper, the Icon, Heartbreak Kid, switching music lights out. Matt Hardy, Twist of Fate, leg drop from the atmosphere. Who'd want to fucking fight us? We're like the Avengers. Cena says, to top all that, there's one move that spell it out for Masters, Snitsky, Edge and Angle. It's F-U.
The Big Show. The choke. And if we need you to, you'll eat someone.
Only with barbecues.
The showstopper. The Icon, the headliner, HBK. One note from Sweet Chin Music. And it's lights out. Matt Hardy. The twist of fate, a leg drop from the atmosphere. Who wouldn't want a partner that will not die? Todd Grisham. What do you do?
I can do the robot. You like?
Wonderful. And on top of all that, there's one move that spells it out for Masters, Snitsky, Edge, and Angle. F you.
We see Maria with Ric Flair. Rick, what happened to your eye? Oh, it's just a little battle scar from last night. And Maria goes, why did they call you the Nature Boy? And he goes, they call me the Nature Boy because I can go woo all night long. Right. Is it? Do they not call you the Nature Boy because that's a moniker they used to give it to somebody else and they gave it
Buddy
to
Rogers?
Him. Yeah. But no, they call it him because Buddy Rogers must have been top shagger. That's right. He must have been top shagger.
You've got to be a top shagger.
He says, ever since I won the Intercontinental Championship in Oklahoma, I left the town with four beautiful women and we partied all night. But never forget that the Nature Boy never confuses business with pleasure. The success with being the IC champion means I can establish business from pleasure. Carlito is here and he's yelling it's not cool. Flair and Carlito start brawling, but here comes Chris Masters, Master Lock on, Carlito's pounding him. Going forward, then this is going to be a feud. Are they potentially looking at putting the belt on Masters? Masters be the one to take it off Flair? The Masters and Carlito have the feud of the new Michaels and Razor.
Or is it more to set up Flair's buddy coming back? So Flair's got some good backup.
Maybe. Main event time. It is your dastardly heels of Kurt Angle, Snitsky, Edge and Masters versus Shawn Michaels, Matt Hardy, Big Show and John Cena. What did you make? He was an absolute clusterfuck of everyone getting their spots in for a solid. And this was another one got
dog
a
pile
solid
on Edge.
Amount of time.
That dog pile with Edge, just like, he's got to cash it in soon.
What got me, I liked the spot where, was it Snitsky that did the low blow to Big Show and then boom, Edge turns around with a spear. And even though that Big Show is not even close to remotely even fucking touching main event right now, he's still kicked out.
Yeah. It's Big Show, though. He's not close. He's not anywhere near main event. Especially when he's huge to be fucking
It's because the dirty fucking faces had to win. They had to win. They couldn't end Raw with this new coalition of Edge and Angle and Snitsky and that.
I preferred that.
No, I would have. But no, we don't, because we're living in the era of Cena right now.
Yeah.
So like towards the end of the match, you got everyone got their spots in, like five knuckle shuffle, choke slam, and then all four men covered on Edge, because like he's the
despicable heel.
He's the worst one of the lot. So he's the one that's got to take it.
He stole Lita from Matt.
I don't know. I feel like that for an episode, I'm wondering, you tell me how you feel. But for me, it was flat, and that main event could have been so much more. Where all you had were just storylines all banding together, because it's like,
yeah, you four are in a feud with the people on that team, so you have a tag match player.
Yeah, but it's like these feuds that have come out of Unforgiven, are these feuds now going to be going into Taboo Tuesday? But then we've got next week, and then we've got Hardcore Homecoming. We've got Homecoming, which, like I said, I'm presuming is going to be a bit of a
mini pay-per-view.
Yeah, so...
But a feel-good night.
Are we building to what? I know, obviously, we do build towards an Iron Man match and stuff like that, but is that, like, the end of the storylines for your show and Snitsky, for your Matt Hardy and Edge? Because, obviously, it's going to be a loser leave, so then, in theory, then, the week after Homecoming should be a brand new
feud
for
Edge.
Sort of like the night after WrestleMania, where things start fresh.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Be interesting to see what happens on Raw the next few weeks, because
so the Raw after No Mercy should be like the Raw after Mania.
But like they've got like four or five storylines running right now that have been running for a month or so. Are these going to run through to Taboo Tuesday?
I hope not. Can't do any more Big Show Snitsky.
Get ready. But that was Monday Night Raw. What did you
make? I mean after this build. I can't do any more after this build.
What did you make to Raw? How many Mavens?
Two Mavens. It was a mess show.
It was a mess show.
Considering how decent Raw looked like it was getting to just nosedive.
Yeah, it was a mess up.
Like the highlight was literally Vince's announcement of who's coming for the Homecoming.
That's it. The highlight of Raw was Vince's announcement for a Raw that's happening in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Don't worry about next week, we'll get to that then. Are you ready then for some Smack of the Down?
Man, I'm sorry. I don't know what's the matter with me. I came in fine. I was doing great.
Take it easy, Eddie. Take it easy.
Crap. Oh, God. Look, I know I got a match with Bautista tonight, man. But don't you think for a moment that I'm going to let him or you or especially you, Palmer. Oh, God.
I don't think you're going to be able to make it, Eddie.
No, man, I'm not going to let nobody down. I remember that promise about turning my life around, making a new leaf in life, and I'm going to do it. I think it's gurgling.
What are you saying? He's really sick.
Oh, network does not like the sound of that.
I don't like the sound
of it. It is the 23rd of September 2005. We're from Lubbock in Texas. We kick things off with Booker T versus Christian.
Again?
All the time. Christian, he tries to cheat, as always. Charmel finally has enough and she trips him up. Booker schoolboys in for the victory. How many more times do we need to see Booker versus Christian?
Yes. Really? I guess you need to see it more before he fucks off.
Quite possibly.
To tits and Assland.
We're backstage with Eddie Guerrero and he's come down with a bit of a virus.
You know, I think he's got that same bug that Christian had at Full of Loaded 2000.
Yeah. That 20 minute thing. unfortunately, he can't wrestle tonight in the main event, which is supposed to be him fighting with his best friend, the world champion.
His new bestie.
Going up against Eminem, but unfortunately, he can't wrestle. And then we see Jillian Hall with that thing on her face, introducing Texas's own John Bradshaw Layfield. Bradshaw, looking very nervous, rides out on a horse. very nervous.
I'm surprised she didn't fucking start dropping all over.
I'm surprised the horse didn't try and bite that thing off her face. He said, despite the fact that he is West Texas' favourite son, they're still chanting, "You suck at him." And JBL even makes fun of George Bush to get a bit of heat. Right, just not bothered, is JBL. He'll take piss out of anyone.
The crowd weren't rating to him.
No, they never are. It's JBL.
Same old shit.
He goes off on immigration, especially that dirty little immigrant Rey Mysterio. Loves picking on a Mexican. Luckily, there's Mexicans in Swan SmackDown. Or JBL, I have no one to fight with. Cole and Taz, they talk about what a character change JBL has gone through. It's just normal. I'm JBL, I'm a wrestling guard, you're a dirty
I'm
foreigner.
Rich, you're poor. Uh-huh.
Yeah, same shit.
Same old shit. It's all JBL is. Same old shit. It was fun at first, because it was new-ish. It was a new character for Bradshaw.
It was a brand new thing for Bradshaw, especially from a few things. We all went from Acolyte Bradshaw to this Bradshaw.
Yeah.
Big change. But I just feel like his gimmick is he's stuck where I'm rich American, you're dirty foreign.
I'm that cowboy character from The Simpsons. Yeah. That's rich but not as rich as Mr. Burns.
Absolutely. Up next, Legion of Doom 9.0 versus Jarrod Steele and Anthony Colletti. Yeah.
Doomsday Device 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
That's... what else can they do?
Tag team's fucked. Tag team wrestling screwed at me. This is the worst it's
the
ever been.
The champs are having to face jobbers.
Yeah. It's been bad. Like, don't get me wrong, the tag team division that we've been, since we ever started doing this, has been bad. It's had some good moments, it's had some bad moments, but currently this is terrible.
The
this
peak
worst form.
For on Raw was Armageddon 2003.
Because the fact that they could do a tag team turmoil.
Yeah.
There was that enough team to do a tag team turmoil.
SmackDown.
Was your
the
SmackDown
peak
6?
Was.
Was your Angle?
Team Angle versus Los Guerreros.
Yeah, that era. And it, like I said, and then before then, when you had like Edge and Hulk Hogan. And
the Americans.
Yeah, yeah. And then even a little bit after then, when you had Edge and Rey Mysterio. And obviously Kurt Angle
yeah,
and Benoit.
SmackDown 6.
Yeah, yeah. He was, but yeah, right now, terrible. Speaking of terrible, Sylvain Grenier comes out as he goes up against Hardcore Holly, who has Stacey Keibler and Christy Hemme by his side because Sylvain calls them slags.
Shit Martel, more like.
Yeah, Sylvain gets his him counted out because no one wants none of Hardcore.
Well, Bob said he was going to give him a black eye.
Which, you know, he legit would as well. Like, it says it in the script to give him a black eye, Bob, but, you know, just go steady, it's only wrestling. No, the script tells me I've got to give him a black eye.
It's the best script I've ever read. I get to give him a black eye, and I get to have Sage Keith and Chrissy Hemme at my side.
Yeah. We're in the back, and Batista, he's got a weightlifting session interrupted by Teddy Long, who tells him, Eddie, he's a bit poorly tonight. And Batista says, that's no worries, don't worry about it. So I'll take a 2-on-1. It's Eminem and Batista. It's not
look
an issue.
At me. I'm twice the size and both of them combined.
You're making it a big deal, Teddy. It's not an issue. If anything, Eddie, we're going to be away. It's not a problem. We're in the ring and Mr. Orton Sr. is setting up a casket with some flowers, apparently for his son's... him and his son, they're going to... Yeah, bury the Undertaker. I feel like everyone always wants to bury the Undertaker. He's already dead.
That's the joke.
The Undertaker, he was lying in the ring. Well, sorry, my bad. A mannequin of The Undertaker was lying in the ring in the casket, and it looked quite lifelike.
Yeah, whoever designs these mannequins for WWE, it was literally a double.
Yeah, and it actually is The Undertaker.
I love it when it just shows him just like peeking, like his dad who's asleep on settee while kids are running around. Like, oh, this will be little shit, so I'm going back to sleep.
Yeah, he grips Randy by the throat, tosses him over the casket. So, what we're saying then? Casket match? Orton Taker?
Sounds like it.
I think that's what's going to happen.
Chekhov's good, isn't it? Chekhov's casket.
Up next, Mr. Kennedy versus Booyaka Booyaka 619. Mr. Kennedy actually likes Chimmel's intro this week, even gives him a big hug, and then he kicks him in the bollocks.
Mania 26, Kennedy versus Chimmel.
Actually pretty good, dude. Hey, you did a good job, man. We've been working on it. Hey, you know, I gotta say, over the past few weeks, I've been kind of nasty to you, man. I've been a bad little boy, and I apologize. Give me a hug, man.
Oh, see, he's not a bad guy, Ken Kennedy. He's compassionate.
Good job. Now, what I want you to do for all these people, and of course for yourself, is to take a bow. You still suck!
Microphone on the pole match.
Yeah, absolutely. Mr. Kennedy gets the victory with, again, his move that he can't put that on everybody. You can't be doing that on everybody.
The debut of the ceiling microphone.
Very true. Very true.
And did it not just give you fucking MSG vibes?
But is Mr. Kennedy not just, that's all it is? It's just, the best thing about him is his intro.
Yeah.
And then it goes downhill from then, because I don't think he's very good at ring me, you know.
He's not the worst.
I'm not a Mr. Kennedy fan.
He's not the worst. He's not good. He's not the worst.
No, he's definitely not the worst. But I don't know. I feel like he's got the charisma. He's got the mic work. He's got the intro. He can talk with the crowd. He's got them in the palm of his hands. He's LA Knight.
Yeah.
Isn't it? LA Knight is the modern day Mr. Kennedy.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Do you know the worst thing that's happened to LA Knight? Is The Rock coming back?
I know.
Because everyone was like, oh, he's like a throwback. And it's like, we've got our throwbacks now. We don't need you anymore.
You know, back before Rumble, we were like, we're going to have you face Logan Paul for your title mania. Yeah, that's not happening now. You're fighting AJ Styles instead. You've got to put it first match on.
We're backstage. And Eddie's getting treatment in the back. He's got appendicitis, apparently. We get a little bit of a sexy nurse. She comes in to replace the old doctor, and all of a sudden Eddie's feeling a bit more perkier. It's amazing what happens with medical science. It's amazing. The power of science.
She's got it. You could go now.
No, I can't.
Hey!
It's okay.
Slower, slower.
Does it hurt here?
Yes, yes. Right. See where it says puppy? Yeah. Yeah.
Right there? Oh.
You're close to it.
A little lower.
Up next, making his debut.
It's Vince's Big Black Dildo. Oh, wait, that's a different Bobby Lashley.
Simon Dean versus Vince's Big Black Dildo. What did you make? Future world champion or what? He looks fucking good, doesn't he?
He's always looked great.
He's always looked the same. He's always like Farouk. Farouk, when he won world title in WCW in early 90s, looked exactly the same as Farouk that wrestled in that fucking pub fight. Yeah. Like, black don't crack.
R-Truth.
Well, R-Truth.
He is not aged a day since K-Quick. He's not aged a day since he knocked him out with Tupac.
Bobby gets the victory with the Dominator. Obviously, this is Bobby Lashley, who's come through OVW in this current new crop of stars with Masters, Carlito, Lashley, Kennedy. The minute that I saw Lashley, I'm like, we're now in the new era of SmackDown. I think slowly it's been coming in. Slowly it's been coming in. But not just SmackDown. We're in the new era of the WWE now. Cade and Murdoch.
This new crop of talent
makes the new era of WWE. The old guard, speaking of tag teams, during this timeline, exactly this, I think it's this week or maybe the week after, TNA announced the signing of the Dudley Boys.
Yeah.
So it's complete change of guards now, and this is the new, the new era of SmackDown, the new era of Raw. And for me so far, it's fucking terrible, but Bobby Lashley could be a fucking shining light.
His Dominator, you know I love Farouk.
Beastie Dominator.
You know I love Farouk.
Beastie Dominator.
But Lashley's Dominator. When he goes down with him.
But the thing is, more impactful. Well, Bobby's got so much more power to, just from an aesthetic wise, if you look at Bobby, he looks dangerous. Farouk, yeah, he looks hard, but them two were scrapping, you'd be backing Bobby Lashley every day of the week. Even prime Farouk, you'd be backing Bobby Lashley every day of the week.
Yeah.
He's a beast.
Even Farouk would say, damn!
Great finish. Speaking of damn, these two seem to need to stop fating and all. US title, Benoit versus Jordan. We've still got this thing going with, see how quick I can beat her. And he beats him this time in 48 seconds. What did you make?
It lasted longer. So long as it's lasted.
That's very true.
So it's, well, it must be kind of like an endurance thing for him now.
Mm.
But it's like, one point, Jordan looked at the clock and like, it's 7:40 seconds. Yeah. It's 7:40. Oh, shit, I'm beaten.
I've lost anyway.
He's not even lasted 3 minutes in total.
So happy to get over half a minute.
Since the Bash, Great American Bash, OJ hasn't lasted 3 minutes in total.
Oh. You would just say 3 minutes. 3 minutes and we're out of here. The clock is ticking and we're in the clear. You said 3 minutes and we're out of here. Speaking of 3 minutes, it's probably how long it took Eddie to feel like he was now a homosexual man as he's back in the locker room with his nurse. And Batista's like, oh, we need to have a proper fucking check on you, Eddie. We need to make sure you're good. And Eddie's getting all excited. Batista does a little bit of a switcheroo. Out goes sexy nurse, in comes a gay nurse. And the gay nurse slaps on the fucking little antibacterial glove.
Hello, Eddie Guerrero.
Bend over, Eddie. And it's one of them segments where you don't see it, but they just make
you know what's happening.
Think about it.
Eddie, you don't need a nurse. You need a doctor. And I got you the best. Your amigo got you the best in town. This is Dr. Barnett. He's going to take care of you.
Dr. Barnett?
Hello, Mr. Guerrero.
The best for my amigo.
No, you know what? Let's it's a miracle! I feel good!
Why don't you roll over and lay down, please?
Hey, hey, Eddie! Hey. Eddie! Let the doctor do his job.
Oh, God! What job is that, Dave? Dave, I'm talking to you. Answer me.
This won't hurt.
Won't hurt much. Hijo de la chingada.
Eddie's been violated.
Eddie's been violated.
Eddie got fingered.
Eddie got fingered. As it is time for your main event, it is Eminem with Melina versus your defending reigning world champion Batista and Eddie Guerrero.
It's like another tag team. The best thing about them is their manager in their entrance.
Yeah. But at least they're an actual team.
Yeah.
Do you know, and there's not many of them left. There's an actual team. Batista spears Nitro. Batista catches Mercury with a spine buster and a clothesline. Suddenly, Eddie, because he's Eddie, he reaches in for the tag.
Miraculous.
Frog splash, 1, 2, 3. SmackDown goes off the air. Eddie standing tall with Big Dave, his best.
That word. Frog splash can't be good if you got shits.
No, absolutely not.
Eddie just tagged him. Eddie just tagged himself. Tagged himself. And a leapfrog's not good for the stomach.
Wait a minute. Look at the cover.
What the hell? Eddie just stole the victory away from Batista. What the hell is going on?
Your winners, Eddie Guerrero and the world heavyweight champion, Batista.
Eddie's sucking up to the champion. Look at him.
Batista can't believe it. He did all the work. Eddie tagged himself in. I thought he had a stomach ache.
You see Eddie back there kind of like holding himself and he's saying, hey, look at this. Kidding me or what? Come on. You think Eddie Guerrero really had a stomach ache? I don't know. Maybe he did.
No, he didn't. Whoa. I don't think Batista's buying it either.
Likes the fact that he went out here and wrestled this match, and this guy picked up
the scraps. Nonetheless, at No Mercy, there will be no friends. It's Eddie Guerrero versus Batista for the World Heavyweight Championship, October 9th.
You'd think doctors would recommend not doing that, Joey. You know, if you've got an appendicitis, don't be doing frog splashes off top rope, Ed. But yeah, what did you make SmackDown? How many mavens?
A lot more insane than Raw.
True.
2.5-3 mavens, like slap bang in the middle. Like the Taker, Orton, skit, that was great. Because he's reminded me of the Diesel thing.
Yeah, definitely.
From back in the day.
Absolutely.
And nostalgia, it's always a good high. The only good thing about Ken Kennedy is Ceeley Magfern finally debuted.
Yes.
Debut Lashley.
That's it, the only good thing about Ken Kennedy is his shitty entrance. His good entrance. That's the only good thing about him. His mic work on his entrance. The rest of him is shitty. I got there in the end.
I was more surprised on that show that horse that Jamie always ride did just shit all over it.
What I think they should have done is, you know, the little trainer that brought the horse out. What they should have done is not had that little trainer and just let JBL try and guide that horse out into the ring. It would have been great TV.
Are you ready then for some more Monday Night Raw, the final episode of Raw on Spike TV?
Tonight's going to be an historic night here tonight on Monday Night Raw. Matter of fact, we're going to start things off with a championship match here momentarily, but tonight is historic because this marks the last broadcast of Monday Night Raw on Spike TV. Many of you will recall some 5 years ago when we left USA Network to come to what was then known as the Nashville Network, then known as the National Network, and finally to Spike TV. Since that time, Spike TV's done an awful lot of growing up. So has the WWE. As a matter of fact, I'd like to say we've been pretty good tag team partners. And I'd like to take this opportunity right now to thank Spike for being such a good partner. But next week, Monday Night Raw returns home. Next week, Monday Night Raw returns back to USA Network, and what a homecoming it's gonna be. 3 hours of the biggest homecoming ceremony you will ever witness, including, among other things, John Cena, the WWE Champion. John Cena defends the title against Raw's very own general manager, Eric Bischoff.
I don't like Bischoff's chances.
It is September the 26th, 2005. We're in the heart of Texas, Coliseum in Waco, Texas. As I said, it's a massive show tonight because next week, Raw returns to its rightful spot at the home on USA. It's not been on USA since September of 2000.
Yeah.
After obviously Five starting years. On USA back in 1993, it moves to Spike, where it's Spike TNN and all that shit. And then it returns to the USA, which is still there to this day. Never left. Until it goes to Netflix.
I can't wait. But it's also going to rack up the Netflix charge.
Oh, 100%. Absolutely.
Ten of a month? Nah, 15, yeah, but mate.
Do Netflix do live TV now? Do they stream live? Because it'd be interesting to see how that works.
I think they do.
Do they? Because I know obviously a lot of their stuff, obviously back catalogue, and it's all, they'll upload a new series in its all its parts. But I've never known Netflix to do like a live stream of anything. I presume they do. But it'd be interesting to see if actually that, how their servers can cope and everything else. Because WWE's audience is still vast. And I feel like it'll be even vaster and the ratings will skyrocket. With Netflix, because a lot of people have Netflix and have access.
Well, a lot of TVs now come with the Netflix built in.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Here comes Vince, and he talks about this being the last episode on Spike and all the growing up they had together. Spike has been a great tag team partner and he wants to thank them for everything. Next week, though, they're returning home to the USA Network with a huge show.
Hence why it's called Homecoming.
Now, apparently, the live version of this, Spike, every time Vince mentioned USA, Spike, they bleeped it out. Where the network, they obviously passed it through. But like, that's bitter, that, isn't it, from Spike? I mean, you've lost the contract. The contract's going back to USA. They probably paid a fuck ton more money to get them. And it's so fucking petty. But it's definitely something Vince would have done. So Vince can't be pissy about it. So it's definitely something Vince would have done. Vince would have made sure every single second was bleeped of any competitor or anything like that. Here comes Kurt Angle to interrupt because he isn't happy with Bischoff getting next week's title match. Angle demands the first shot against whoever wins and no one else deserves it. But here comes Shawn Michaels. He said, hey, I won at Unforgiven, so I should be getting the title shot. So Vince goes, I've got an idea. Next week, Raw, 30-minute Iron Man winner gets
You beat
winner.
Him. You beat him. Rubber match. Iron rubber.
Homecoming.
Iron rubber.
Homecoming is turning out to be a fucking good show.
Pay-per-view.
If we're going to have Austin, we're going to have Triple H, we're going to have Hogan, we're going to have Michaels versus Angle and Iron Man.
We're going to have a rapper versus a karate black belt.
That's it. A WWE title match. Do you know what I mean? Pay-per-view worthy Monday Night Raw. Up next, women's title time, Trish Stratus versus Victoria.
At least it's Victoria that's facing Trish and not Tori or Candice.
It's still only lasted 2 minutes. I know, who's in ring? They give him 2 minutes and we're out of here. DQ, still champion, Trish Stratus, after the match. Ashley, she rips off Candice's dress. And we find out next week, if Homecoming couldn't be any better, we have a handicap bra and panties match set.
But I don't get why Candice was so like upset about Pete for seeing
her. Yeah, she's going to be in Playboy in a couple of weeks.
Before she was here, she was doing fucking softcore porn.
Big Show versus Snitsky in the match that you alluded to a couple of episodes ago, Michael.
Yeah.
Which is a street fight, and they use everything, including the kitchen sink.
Fucking, I think this is it. I think this is the last of it.
Is this, have we hit peak? Is this peak? Is this all? Well, is this on mega Big Show?
They've literally used everything and the kitchen sink. How do you go further?
Last man standing.
Yeah. But this has got to be like a light at the end of the tunnel.
It's got to be.
I can't the thing is do though, any more of this.
The thing is, though, there's not much more you can do with two big men. Do you know what I mean? You can have as many gimmick matches as you want, but the storyline, like, what is the storyline at the minute? I don't like you because I'm a big man and you're a big man. Because I still can't remember why they're beefing.
There's no actual storyline.
Why are they beefing? They just had a match and it didn't go. They had a rematch, then a rematch, and a rematch, and a rematch. Yeah.
It's just rematch on rematch on rematch.
There's no need to beef.
Like, you beat me once, so we're going to rematch. But it's going to be a no contest. If we're going to rematch, it's a no contest.
Yeah.
A rematch, and then you win. And then a rematch, and then you win. Absolutely. Then a rematch, no contest.
Here comes Ric Flair. He says he's pissed off of being jumped constantly, brother, by them two pair of new knobheads. So, guess what? He brings out a sledgehammer, because next week, Triple H is back, and it's game on. And then, which made me fucking nearly fall off my chair, we got a video package on Triple H just in case you forgot who he was.
Game on! Woo!
And look at Dallas.
Just in case you forgot, let me tell you just who the hell I am.
Let us remind you who the hell he is.
We see Bischoff. He's on the phone when John Cena comes in. He hangs it up. Cena talks about Bischoff being a kung fu master and a ninja in four states. He's up against the champ next week, and that means a bit of a Karate Kid pose, of course. Cena didn't have much to say, but it's one of them where, what can you say in this sort of circumstance? But because I'm going to beat you. And yeah, you've got your karate thing. Vince already brought that up. But it's one of them that there's no reason for Cena to be coming to this match thinking any other way apart from I'm going to whoop him. It's not like Bischoff's got a corporation, he's not got a ministry, he's not got a group around him.
He's got Angle, but Angle's going to be busy with Shawn.
Busy with Shawn. He had Jericho, but Jericho's gone now. Do you know,
call it a masses, but they're going to get buried by Flair and Triple H.
He doesn't have a... He doesn't have a... So in Cena's mind, I'm going to fucking destroy him.
Bischoff should have kept Test round.
He should have done. Going back to what we said earlier about this brand new crop of new guys, up next, Shelton Benjamin versus Kerwin White, and Kerwin White's got a caddy.
A caddy who's here to show the world.
He's to show the world that he can beat Moose for TNA title. It's Nick Nemeth, who obviously goes on to be Nikki in the Spirit Squad and then goes on to his peak wrestling career as Dolph Ziggler, one of the greatest sellers in the history of selling.
Absolutely.
This is another one with, like I said, with your Lashleys and it's not long till we get Finlay, and we are, it's in that new group now of this is the brand new era of WWE. Yep. It really is.
Here we got Gunnar Scott.
No, Jesus, yeah. Or there's some randomers in there that we get. But as I said, there's a few that are going to pop up over the few months of this new SmackDown and Raw Superstar Initiative.
It's good we've already said goodbye to the Bashams because they're not long gone.
Oh, yeah. They're old news. Like I said, the Bashams now, there. Bashams were your 03 to 05. We're now on like 05 to 07 route now. So Nick Nemeth, he trips up Shelton, which gives White the victory. So Shelton's winning streak of one match. Yeah, back to losing again.
Well, at least Shelton got the win on pay-per-view.
That is very true. That is very true.
Poor Matt Hardy. You know, he thinks he actually accomplished something by giving me the Twist of Fate. No, wait. He did. Matt accomplished and proved what a pathetic loser he is who refuses to move on with his life. But Matt, I'm going to go out on a whim here, okay? Because I'm going to speak for the entire world, including myself. We're going to be just fine without you, okay? We're moving on. I know a lot about twists of fate. I might have spoke too soon. I don't know if these pathetic losers are ready to move on.
There's a ladder in the ring, and here comes Edge and Lita, with Lita being in a neck brace. Lita rants about Matt being a loser who can't move on, but Raw will be fine without him. She knows a lot about twists of fates and remembers the first Raw on Spike 5 years ago. That night, it was the Hardys versus Edge and Christian in a ladder match, but this time around, she's in the right corner. Edge talks about how Matt is going to lose his career in 7 days because next week, Edge is a career killer. Edge climbs the ladder, but cue Matt Hardy, shoves the ladder over. Not the biggest of falls off the ladder by Edge. Lita, she's clutching the briefcase and her neck. Matt Hardy's going to lose then, because obviously Edge goes on to...
Well, it's a ladder match. Edge is currently undefeated in ladder matches at this point.
Where does Matt Hardy go from this? Does he actually get fired, or does he just turn up on SmackDown?
Because I know he eventually has a feud for US title, the MVP.
He's another one, isn't he, on the new Superstar Initiative. Yeah. Teddy Long, he comes in to see Bischoff and suggests some SmackDown exposure on next week's Homecoming. Bischoff says nope, but Vince comes in and says, you know, it's going to be a 3-hour show and SmackDown should have a big match. Long, buzzing, he fucks off. Bischoff, he tries his hardest to get out of the match. And he's like, well, where's this tough man fucking gimmick that you had when you had Ted Turner bankrolling you? Bring that man out. See if that man can beat John Cena.
Bring the Bischoff that wanted to fucking fight me on TV.
Absolutely. Up next, tag match. Val Venus and Viscera versus the...
Chunk and cunt farm fucks.
Cade gets knocked out.
You've got the name, won't it?
Cade gets knocked off the apron. And we get splash into money shot from the... I don't know, what are we always saying? The Shaggers, Top Shaggers. Is that Val and Viscera? Top Shaggers, aren't they? That's their tag team gimmick.
I mean, they've probably got a lot under their belts,
Top Shaggers.
They've probably caught a lot under the belts. Val has.
Money shot onto Murdoch, only to have Cade use a chair for the DQ. That concerns me straight away, that our tag team champions have to get DQ finished to escape
Val Venus.
Top Shaggers. You know what I mean? It's...
You have to get yourself DQ'd against Val Venus.
Yes, bad do. Chris Masters and Carlito, they're worried about splinters in their tables match. Masters is like, Carlito, speak English, I can't stand a word you're fucking saying.
He's right.
Speak English, please.
What? I'm speaking English. Splinters, I said. Splinters, man. You know what happens when you go through one of those tables? You get splinters everywhere. Splinters... Here's where it's not cool.
Oh, we're in a tables match for the first time ever with Cena and Shawn Michaels, and you're worried about splinters? Have you ever seen what happens to guys when they go through those tables?
Yeah, splinters, that's what I'm saying.
Well, could you imagine what could happen to this masterpiece of a body? How about that?
We need a plan.
A master plan.
A master plan without splinters.
English TV show. Or English-speaking TV show. Speak English.
Learn the language, you dirty foreigner. You sounded a bit like JBL here, Mike. Up next, speaking of someone that doesn't really speak English very well, it is Eugene going up against Rob Conway.
And he's got a little teddy bear with him, bless him.
Shawn Michaels' teddy bear. And his little airplane.
Who's got better hair than Shawn's ever had.
Yeah. We've got airplane spin, poke in the eye, spine buster, people's elbow.
Conquistadors implode.
But Conway destroys the bear, and Eugene is absolutely distraught. And the ego trip gives Conway the victory. What did you make?
That's one of the best Conway's ever looked. Against Eugene.
Against Eugene. It's a bad deal.
Conquistador's implosion.
It's a bad deal. The mid-card on just in WWE in general at minutes a bit shit, in it.
I wouldn't even put this mid-card. This is low mid-card.
Fill a bit of time before the main event, as it is time for your new up-and-coming tag team, Carlito and Chris Masters, going up against the super team of Shawn Michaels and John Cena. Spoiler alert, Cena wins, lol. Jesus. So it's a tables match, and we get a brawl to start. We've Cena and Carlito heading outside. Back in, side slam dropped Carlito. And what made me chuckle is no one can find a table under the ring, even though there's loads of tables around the ring.
Yeah, why are they looking under? Just turn, like 25 degrees and look forward.
It's ridiculous. Cena and Carlito, they fight over a suplex through the table, but Shawn accidentally super kicks the referee off the apron and into, well, not through though, just onto a table, because refs aren't heavy enough. Cena makes a comeback. He's smart enough though to turn to push a table out of the way to stop Michaels from going through it, which is always a great, it's ring psychology. It's always good to know what's going on around you.
Great ring awareness.
Masters gets laid on the table, but here comes Kurt Angle to shove Shawn off the top and through the table for the victory. After the match, Angle slammed to put Cena through another table. Cena's busted open. Bischoff's holding up the title. Raw goes off the air with potentially your new world champion standing strong with his manager. I don't know, is that what
Angle
it is?
Angle the manager.
Angle and Bischoff. What did you make? How many mavens? Surprised me that Cena didn't win, lol.
I know. But it being a tables match, I think that's like the only way he can have Cena lose a match. He's not been beat. His partner got put through a table that he did.
It's very true.
He slipped. But as we know, if you leave Cena lying before a big match,
Cena's going to fuck you up.
That being said, that's two and a half mavens. Ooh, it was better than last week.
It's got to be two and a half then if it was better than... Well, we can go 2.1. There's no rules in the maven scale.
Let me explain this to you by using a visual. You see, this right here, this is the mouth that people like me have to feed when you come here and can't make a living. Bring the camera back here. I want a camera right here. Because this is exactly what all of you people remind me of. You make me sick.
Are you ready for some more Smack of the Down? The last day of September 2005. We're from Laredo, Texas. Here comes JBL.
He's been to the seaside for a donkey ride.
He's got a sombrero. He's looking fucking happy as Larry.
He's had tequila, that's what it is.
And the thing is, though, where Laredo, we're not that far away from the border. So JBL's getting a bit spicy, you know what I mean? Then I can smell them. Smell that. Smells like...
Build the wall!
Smells like immigration. He says, contrary to popular belief, he loves the foreign. The crowd though interrupt him, forcing him to go on about them sneaking into the country. You dirty foreign. Until he introduces tonight his tag team partner, Mr. Kennedy. So it is Rey Mysterio and Hardcore Holly, the fucking dream team.
Of all the people for Rey to get as a partner.
Going up against JBL and Ken Kennedy. Rey gets the hot tag to Holly. Holly gets fired up. He takes out both men. JBL takes a drop kick. but Kennedy breaks up the Alabama Slammer. Ray takes Kennedy out, but JBL is able to hit Holly with the clothesline from hell to pick up the victory. Them dastardly dirty heels.
At what's probably most?
The hardcore Holly is on the team defending the foreigners. I feel like hardcore well, should be on JBL's team.
That as well, but the fact that that donkey didn't just give Kennedy...
Kennedy!
A swift donkey kick.
That's very true. That's very true.
Especially when he was like lifting his tail like... He's going to get your fucking kneecapped.
But yeah, the Hardcore Holly's still filtering, flirting with the main event even.
Mm-mm.
Maybe.
Well, it's Bob Holly, he's always a...
How do you like me now?
All he just has to do is dropkick and everyone's happy.
That's it. Dropkick, Alabama Slammer. Maybe the occasional Falcon Arrow. We're all good. We're all good. We're in the back and we see Eddie Guerrero sampling some of Mexican's finest cuisine. He apologises to Batista for letting him down last week. Batista's like, Eddie, you had shits. You're eating that for? You get shits again. So he takes his food off him and eats it. And I'm like, oh, Eddie's going to fuck you up, don't be taking man's food.
I don't care how big you are. Take my food. I'm having you.
He's going to fuck you up. We see Melina. She was making an important phone call when Christy Emmy interrupts her. As we find out tonight.
That Christy rides a bike. That's what I found out.
Melina with Nitro Mercury versus Christy Hemme. Legion of Doom make the save because it looked like Eminem was about to give Christy a snapshot. So I presume, and no mercy.
This is where we're going.
This is your six man. Up next, it is The Undertaker versus Bob Orton.
2005, ladies and gentlemen.
Taker, he whips Orton into the referee. But then goes for the cover. He's like, come on, Taker, you've just seen the referee's literally in front of you on his ass. Orton, he low blows Taker and calls for help from the back. Randy comes running down. They take turn on beating up the Undertaker a few minutes. Referee covers. Randy ducks out of the ring. Bob covers. One, two, kick out. But then the ref falls over again. So Randy breaks up the tombstone, goes for the RKO, but Taker just fucking flicks him off like a fly. And then
he's like, no.
It's Bob Holly. Bob Holly. It's Bob Orton. There's a lot of Bobs. It's Bob Orton with the tombstone for the victory. I don't get the Bob stuff. Be a manager. You don't need to be a wrestler.
Yeah.
I know you are. You were a wrestler, but you're not a wrestler now. You're a very old man. And you're fighting against The Undertaker.
I mean, it's your boy's feud. Let him fight his own battles.
That's it. Just you be the fucking... the manager. You be the dad. Don't be the wrestler.
Be the dad watching from the sidelines.
Absolutely. Up next, Big Black Bob going up against Russell Simpson. I feel like we've seen
Bob,
Russell
Bob, Bob before. In three matches, three Bobs.
There's a lot of Bobs in wrestling. Dominator dominates... domination jobbers,
yeah,
wrestling
dominate jobbers. And then
Simon Dean offers Lashley some of the Simon system and he didn't need no more of that, honestly. Simon, he doesn't need
he doesn't need
he does
any
not
of
need
that.
Any more of that. So I'm presuming that's what's going to be Bobby
then
Lashley's,
he fucking crushes his hand.
Bobby Lashley's first big his first feud that's not a jobber, it's going to be against Simon Dean.
Yeah,
fair dues. You're going to have a fight over a bag of powder.
Yes. Oh, protein. Here's some protein shakes. You don't need it, but...
Yeah. Up next, Peep Show time. Enjoy these. There won't be many of these left. Soon be gone, Christian. Taboo Tuesday's not that far away. Christian opens up and he rants on Benoit for ducking him. Booker T and Charmel, they interrupt though and demand a title shot. The Juice, he demands a title shot. Teddy Long comes out and he announces, you can all have title shots for everybody! As we're going to get a triple threat match, it's going to be Booker, Christian, Orlando. Winner gets title shot.
Well, no, because the winner is decided. Whoever gets title shots gets decided by Benoit.
Yeah,
well
then decide. So why not have this match? Fight them all.
Why not have this match as a number one contenders match? Oh, because somehow, fucking somehow, OJ won.
Of course. Of course. But then, yeah, Benoit comes out and he says, do you know what, Summit? I'm not arsed, I'll fight all yous. So, no mercy.
I could beat thee in less than a minute. You couldn't.
This is probably got potential. This probably could be bet match at night and no mercy. This has got potential to be match at night.
Well, look who's in there. Oh, apart from OJ.
No, you leave the Juice alone. He'll come and get you. With his gloves on that don't fit his hands.
Fourth time to Chris Benoit. That was all over the past bump, Taz. If I'm Benoit, I'll tell Benoit's applauded. If I'm Benoit, I'm picking Orlando. Orlando Jordan, look at him.
He just won the Academy Awards.
Orlando. Orlando. I am so proud of you. Orlando. I can't believe my eyes. You won! You won! Orlando, you! It's gonna be you! It's gonna be That's you! It. I face at No Mercy! Yeah!
I told you!
Christian! Yes! You did manage to pin me a couple weeks ago in a tag. Maybe it should be you! You! It's gonna be you! It's gonna be Christian! Okay. I face that no mercy! Yeah! He
changed his mind.
As impressive as that was, Booker, you happen to be one of my close friends. We're tight, Booker! Maybe. I think it should be you. I think I should face you. Wow. At No Mercy. Wait a minute. Something's wrong here. Well, I happen to be the United States champion. It's going to be you. It's going to be you. It's going to be you.
What?
This is Chris Benoit for the U.S. title at No Mercy in a fatal four-way!
Wow! Chris Benoit gonna take out all comers in a fatal four-way match in 9 days at No Mercy!
Oh, man! That Benoit, I'll tell you what, he don't care!
We see Teddy Long and Paul McCannon. They tell Vince that they've selected the wrestlers for homecoming, but Long is not going to tell you who, and I'm not going to tell you the steps. I feel like an invasion angle could be coming here, even ours. Up next... Tag title time. Animal and Heidenreich versus Batista and Eddie Guerrero, because that's the best we can offer you as competition.
For the tag champs, the art jobbers. We've known the tag teams, so we're going to give the world champion and the number one contender to the world championship the tag title shot.
Absolutely. Yeah, again, Eddie did like what he did before. He let Batista do all the work, sort of, and then tagged himself in. He suckers Heidenreich into a low blow. Animal tags in, but he stomps a mud hole. LOD, they go for Doomsday, but Eddie counters into a Rana, sending Animal into Heidenreich. Batista hot tag destroys Heidenreich with a spinebuster. Animal misses a clothesline. Batista nails a spear, but here comes Eminem, and this is where it gets a bit spicy. So we get a wild swing and a miss. A chair gets thrown in. Eddie gets the chair. A wild swing and a miss from Eddie. It hits Batista. Eddie did as usual. I'll throw you the chair. I'll collapse. Batista realizes this. Batista smashes Eminem. Batista's obviously going to be able to see the replay or watch this at some point. Batista is not going to be happy with Latino Heat.
Not at all. But that's probably the most I've seen Animal sell ever since he returned.
Yeah.
Probably ever, ever.
I'd go with that. I'd absolutely go with that. Eddie tosses the chair to Mercury, but he plays dead. Batista recovers, knocks Mercury out. Batista and Eddie hug as SmackDown goes off the air. I guess we're building towards the inevitably Batista versus Guerrero for the world title.
No Mercy.
Oh, has it been announced already?
Yeah.
Oh, sound. Must have missed
He's
that
already
announcement.
Number contender.
Must have missed that announcement. But that was Smack of the Down. What did you make? How many Mavens?
Not as good as last week, but better than Raw.
Yeah.
Which is ironic because we've both seen SmackDown pay-per-view. Raw's usually better.
That's very true. That is very, very true.
SmackDown usually has shite builds, and the pay-per-views are usually pretty shite. But with SmackDown having, I won't say amazing shows, but better shows than Raw's having.
Yeah.
Currently.
Yeah.
Obviously, I can't say on.
I'd say so. I think the thing is with this, especially this current Raw, the first bit of this is we're focusing on the homecoming. It's all about homecoming.
Yeah.
So we've had two episodes of Raw that are building onto the last episode of Raw.
Last few Raws have seen filmed in.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely.
Everyone's filming it in.
Everyone's more focused on next week because it's like I said, next week we're kind of going to have a reset because the Hardy Edge feud is going to be over. Bischoff potentially could be a new world champion. Do you know what I mean? We're going to have a full reset.
We're getting an Ironman match between the man who lost one of the greatest Ironman matches, Kurt Angle, versus the man who won one of the most overrated, shittest Ironman matches.
Yeah.
Shawn Michaels.
Yeah. I agree. But yeah, that was SmackDown. Are you ready then for some Raw Homecoming?
I'm ready.
It's all out there for everyone to see. Monday night, Raw.
To the top, oh my God, look at this!
For the first Raw, I was in the old Manhattan Center in New York City.
Well, we weren't a location somewhere in New York City. I mean, to a certain extent, New York City is the heartbeat of a lot of entertainment. And in our business, Madison Square Garden has always been the mecca. Why not get close to the garden? I wanted to do something that was different in the business. I wanted to do a live show.
We are live!
I guess maybe I did have some concern about being live. So that was when I developed a philosophy, sort of a defensive one, I guess.
Vince had this philosophy. He would always say,
nothing can go wrong if it's live. If you walk into the ring and you trip over that bottom rope getting into the ring, you know what? I meant to do that.
We were doing something new. That's what stands out most to me, you know, that we were prime time on Monday night.
Just knew it was going to be exciting. Different building, a different look, different people. It was something special.
I think that the live audience told us that night that we were really on to something.
I don't know, I think it's only two of us, it might be me and Undertaker, that were on Raw, the debut show, and to still be here now, and to see what it's become. I'm very honored to have been part of that whole process. It's an amazing thing.
I think the Attitude Era was more of a, you know what, this is who we really are.
I did not sleep with that young intern.
Just over the top.
I was at all night!
And the Attitude Era enabled everyone to push the envelope into something which was more of a modern feel.
Society was growing an edge at the time, and our show was exactly what society was all about.
Let's get rid of sucker!
Without a doubt, I think the superstars created the era.
They were defiant by nature.
Don't move, you puppet! Give The Rock the microphone.
They wanted to do something different.
I must say, it was a very fun time, you know, for us.
In that 2 hours of TV, you could literally see anything.
It was just so cutting edge. It was just, like, exciting. Like, what are they going to do next?
Oh, sweet Jesus! What's he got on a penis?
What's wrong?
That's
why they call him Sammy, baby.
Things like that happened, and that added to the show. The show was total free willing.
She's got him! No! Oh, trying to just get him out of Snow here! And Snow is flat on his back!
It was fun, and we were having fun, and our audience was loving it.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking. I love that stuff. We're still here, we're still kicking, and we're still big.
It's the cornerstone of WWE.
The premier place to ply your trade if you're a wrestler.
There's no place like home, and that's what Raw feels like to me.
It's my life. It gives you a sense of belonging.
I'm a junkie for Raw because of the thrills and the excitement that it provides.
I'm pleased to see that, you know, so many people watch us and are intrigued by what we do and appreciate what we do. I'm really proud to be part of it.
It's been a chance to be a major player in something that will be around forever.
Yeah.
Yes, sir, we promised you a great main event here tonight.
Andre,
the China.
WrestleMania.
WrestleMania is running west.
My God, what a rock!
So, as we said, with Raw Homecoming, we're going to do it as its own standalone live watch. We watched it. It was fun.
It was probably the best Raw we've
Probably watched. Yeah. I'd probably say one of the best Raws in this entire Ruthless Aggression timeline that we've been looking at so far, because it had so much nostalgia, but it also stuck to storylines where I said I don't know whether they were going to go down the like the tribute show route and not have storylines, just have random matches and everyone having fun. And
it was both.
Yeah, definitely. You had segments with Hogan. Didn't last long. You had segments with Austin. It was fantastic, Austin. Stunning through the McMahons.
Just brilliant.
A beautiful 30-minute Iron Man match with Kurt Angle and Shawn Michaels. Which
ended up being pointless.
But yeah, so that'll be available probably now, I'd say. I don't know. Sometime in the future, that'll be available. What I'll do, probably I'll have to put it on our Patreon, but I'll make it a free episode so it's available to everybody, because I've got a feeling YouTube won't allow that.
I doubt them very much.
But how many Mavens are you giving the Homecoming?
Five.
It's fucking brilliant.
Best Raw we've watched together.
Yes, definitely. So are you ready then for the final smack of the down before No Mercy?
The build to Eddie's last pay-per-view.
Yes.
Which we will go through further in.
Yes.
We get there on...
I think it's one of them. Yeah, it's one of them. We spoke about it, didn't we, a few weeks ago, I think. When it gets to that point, because obviously you've got the tribute show of Raw, the tribute show of SmackDown, Eddie's final pay-per-view match. I think... the next few weeks, it's going to be weird watching kind of the... Is it November that he passes?
Yeah.
And we're on the 7th of October now. Yeah. So 7th of October now with this, so 6 weeks. So you kind of, it's going to be a weird 6 weeks.
13th of November he dies.
But I feel like with the Eddie, I think we're going to have to do a standalone Eddie episode with the Tribute Raw, the Tribute SmackDown, and let's watch some good Eddie shit. Maybe you pick a couple of matches, I'll pick a couple of matches, and we'll just do a full-on Eddie Guerrero episode. But are you ready then for some smack of the down? It is the 7th even, October 2005. We start things off with Teddy Long and Palmer Cannon in the ring. Tonight we're going to get a SmackDown six-man. Tonight we get the six-man.
That should have been on the tribute show.
Basically, spoiler alert, the SmackDown guys had a six-man and Eric Bischoff weren't happy, so he turned power off.
Brilliant.
Cannon steals a microphone and says the network is thrilled with SmackDown's attack on Raw. Long then invites Raw to come get some at No Mercy. Randy Orton then gets on the mic. He tells Long and Cannon to leave the ring. He's not out there long, and he says, Undertaker, you will rest in peace at No Mercy. There's no mercy for you at No Mercy. Tonight, Orton and Orton will kill the legend of Roddy Piper. Cowboy takes a microphone. He continues threatening him. Piper, though, comes out. Randy challenges him to get into the ring, and Piper complies. Bob Orton tells Randy to break his arm, so he has to wear a stinky, smelly cast for 20 years. Piper takes the pipe, and then he beats both Ortons out of the ring. For those that aren't aware, Roddy Piper returned at the Homecoming. I feel like skipping the Homecoming. We've skipped lots. But yeah, Roddy Piper's back. For the first time since...
Rod's got a rod.
Yeah, since... is that why they called him the Piper? Because he was always walking around with a steel pipe.
Or rod. Rod. My name's Rodney the Piper. I've got a rod.
Rodney the Piper. But yeah, Piper came back at Homecoming looking good. Looking good. Obviously, last time we saw him was Mr. America, Sean O'Hara. That era. So it's been a couple of years.
Yeah, 2003, yeah, that was.
He's looking good. Up next, Booker T versus The Juice. Booker wins, of course he does. Jordan suplexes
Gate to OJ. He lasted lot longer than he ever lasted against Benoit,
because it's a different calibre of athlete, though, isn't it? Of course, more intensity. Charmel again with the assist. Very heel work by Booker and Charmel at this minute.
Booker
in
Booker weren't really happy that his woman had to help him.
Yes, well, he shouldn't. He's a face, but he shouldn't need outside interference.
Your woman's helping you beat Juice.
No.
You're the five-time WCW champion.
No. When you get to that point in life where your last needs to help you to beat Orlando Jordan, maybe it's time to ring Bischoff and say, fancy starting that WCW thing again? I want a big-time player over there. Mr. Kennedy comes out in a sharp suit. Kennedy, Holly, No Mercy? Excited?
Not really. this feud is basically because Bob teamed with Ray last week against JBL and Kennedy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because Kennedy beat Ray the week before.
But it's such a Ken Kennedy versus Bob Holly.
This is just peak 2005 booking.
It's awesome.
Like, we've got a brand exclusive pay-per-view. You two haven't had a wrestle together in a tag match, so have a match at a pay-per-view.
Yeah, it's just, it's the thing, it's the whole, Rhino
and Mordecai.
The whole pay-per-view is like I said, we're turning into that 2005, the new era of SmackDown, with a lot of these new guys, your Kennedys, your Lashleys, all them. But then you look at the guys they've got to go up against, and it's just, you've got some really bad matches, really bad. Like, let's say if we've not got Hardcore, who are we going to have? Silvan? Do you know what I mean? We've just got, like, the roster.
Bob's been feuding with Silvan anyway.
We said this, though, didn't we, on the draft.
So Silvan's not good enough for a pay-per-view, so we're going to give Bob Holly a pay-per-view match. A random match.
Bob Holly's a star. He fought Brock Lesnar for the world title at the Rumble. He's the main eventer. But I think we said this at the draft, where SmackDown suffered so much from the draft. They lost so much star power. And obviously now they're trying to create new stars. I don't know. I don't know. I've got uneasy, unnerving feelings about SmackDown at the minute.
SmackDown 2005 is NXT 2016.
I never watched it.
That's when it was like Kevin Owens and Finn Balor.
What, SmackDown 2005? Is it fuckers like? SmackDown 2005 is shit.
Okay, it's like...
it's like Raw from 29.
It's NXT with, like, when you top guys were like Ciampa and Karrion Kross.
Yeah, I'd take that. Yeah, I'd take that. Up next, we spoke about it. He's been feuding with it. Silvan versus Hardcore. Silvan hits a front brainbuster for the victory after Ken Kennedy gets involved. Big win for Silvan. Beating a main eventer. Big
decent
win.
Move, but not for him.
Yeah, but what? The thing
it's
is...
It's more like... It'd be better if it was a big guy doing that move.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a Snitsky.
Yes, yeah. But again, what with Silvan, he's just another one of them generic character,
shit
boring
Martel
gimmicks that we've got a few of them at the minute. Where
shit Martel.
There's anything that Silvan could do to excel himself to the next level, and I don't feel like you could give him the best finisher in the world, and I don't think that's going to help. I really don't. Up next is LOD versus William Regal and Paul Burchill. We've got Christy Hemme with him, and I said they still need to go down the Sable, the Sunny route, and stick her in that LOD 2000 flame bikini. Mm. That's what Christy needs. She's got red hair. It works. So it's written in the stars.
She'll come out at pay-per-view with Hawks face paint on.
Yep, absolutely. It breaks down. Animal goes for the Doomsday Device, but Melina attacks Christy as Eminem running for the DQ. After the match, Eminem, they beat down, they do a snapshot onto Christy, and then LOD chases them off with chairs. It's like, Christy's getting hammered. Christy's like, do you know something, lads? I forget this. Kicking her off in a bar.
Melina's choking her with fucking stiletto boots on. Like, that's stupid. Why?
Just forget about
it. Them boots don't do a foot choke. You're not that good.
No, absolutely. Steve Romero, he asked Eddie about his accidental attack on Batista, but Eddie didn't want to talk about it. He wants to talk about Raw, where he proved that he's got Batista's back, and then he announces that he's off to the ring. He comes out, he says how lucky it is to wrestle Batista. He shows footage of Raw that went off the air, where he's standing next to Batista, and he's kind of touching him and the best mates. Batista comes out, and Eddie gets the crowd to cheer for him. He's like, come on, give it up for your champion. Batista then shows footage of Eddie's chair shot. So he's watched. He was going to watch eventually. Of course he was. Batista pulls the chairs out, hands it to Eddie, turns around. He goes, give me your best shot. And I think, go on, Eddie, fucking crack the gun. It'd be piss funny.
Break that chair over his back.
Batista says being in Evolution gave him eyes in the back of his head, and he'll fucking destroy Eddie if he betrays him. Eddie gets that and vows to show the world that he's a changed man. He's Eddie Guerrero. He's definitely not a changed man. I wouldn't trust him as far as I could throw him.
He's got dishonest lies. Dishonest.
Yes.
But they literally just gave Eddie a microphone and said, sell us a pay for you, mate. We fucked you.
That's it. Up next, we are going back in time as it's Bob Orton versus Roddy Piper. Obviously with Randy Orton as well, because it's a 2-on-1 handicap match. Piper comes out with a pipe, scares the Ortons off. Randy, he rips Piper's shirt, which Cole describes as humiliation. Humiliation that he's got his tits out on live TV.
Because he's an old man.
That's it. Orton punches the chest. We get a knee drop. Signals for the RKO. But Bob wants a tag. Cowboy Bob, he gets ready to drop an elbow. But then a gong shot sounds. Orton's look scared. But it's one of them little fucking, he's not here really. But then it goes again. And they're fucking shit scared. During all that, Piper rolls up Bob for the 1980s schoolboy. And Rodney the Piper gets his victory in his first match back on WWE TV. Good.
First victory in years. Go fucking on, Rodney.
Love it. After the match,
Druids come out.
Yes, after the match, another gong goes off. The Druids come out. Taker appears. He's built a double deep, double wide casket. Except no mercy. The Ortons are going to get buried together.
Queen size casket.
Yeah, buddy. Quite looking forward. I like a casket match.
And the mannequins.
Again, the mannequins.
Whoever's making the mannequins, they're so good.
It really is. It really is. They're so light. Like I said, go back to the Diesel one from many years ago. It's
all the same.
It's got
people.
To be the same company, hasn't it? It's got to be.
Better than Madame Tussauds.
Oh, fucking hell yeah. Better than the fucking... Have you been to the one in Blackpool? Oh, Jesus. It's like Adru and pissed. It's like you were trying to explain and describe something to somebody who had no idea what that person was.
Who were blind.
Yeah, and had no hands. Up next, Bobby Lashley versus Eddie Craven. Simon Dean comes out on the Dean Machine before the match. Obviously gets involved, but Lashley wins because he's Lashley, and I feel like this is going to be a long-running
thing. I just love the squat off. It's like Simon's doing his squats on outside, and then Bobby's got Jabber on his shoulders. Like, I could do that at all.
Remember that when he went for the suplex, where there was a front suplex, and Simon Dean grabbed his leg to try and stop him, and he just couldn't shift him. So I'm presuming these two are going to have a scrap at No Mercy, then, is that what we're saying, yeah? Great.
Well, we say scrap. I don't think it's going to be...
I'm putting it out there now. I'm not watching No Mercy. You can do it with Kyle. Not watching it. Main event time. It is the six-man that we should have got on Raw. It's Eddie Guerrero, JBL and Christian versus Batista, Chris Benoit and Rey Mysterio. Eddie gets JBL. Benoit takes Christian out. Batista spears JBL. JBL boots a corner charge and Christian makes the blind tag. JBL runs the ropes, but Eddie pulls the top rope down and he tumbles out. Christian goes up top, but Eddie alerts him. Batista catches Christian and nails him with a spinebuster for the win. So Eddie's turned on the heels. Eddie's now a full-on face, not having it. I believe Eddie now. I trust him.
No wonder Christian's leaving when he's getting beat with a signature, not a finisher.
Very true. As your winners are Batista, Rey Mysterio and Chris Benoit. Eddie celebrates with the faces after the match, then gets on his knees and extends a hand to Batista. JBL and Christian, they attack both men and then double team Eddie. Batista makes the save. Eddie has that look on his face, though, that as SmackDown goes off the air, I still don't trust the cunt.
Nah. He's just playing mind games now. He's got his head. He knows he's in his head.
Yeah, I don't trust him. Don't trust him. But that was SmackDown. What did you make and how many mavens? And are you excited for No Mercy? Has it done its job?
Go back to the main event. Why was Ray wearing that baseball cap? What's he need a baseball cap for when he's got a mask on?
Style. Style. Style over substance sometimes.
That's like me carrying around a hair bubble.
Style. It looks good. If it looks good, it feels good. If it feels good, fuck what anybody else thinks. That's it, isn't it?
So I wouldn't look like a twat if I carried around hair bubbles.
But yeah, I definitely agree. He's got no reason to wear a baseball cap. Well, how many mavens were given the final smack of the downs?
2.5.
I'd give it that. I think SmackDown's been a bit of a 2.5.
Yeah, it's been a flat.
Yeah, flat 3 weeks. It's not offended me, but it's not done nothing to really excite me.
It's
but
not
then,
really hype.
No.
I'm more
concerned.
Hyped for the casket match.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, definitely.
But mainly because of the mannequin shit.
Yeah. But yeah, well, we'll run down the card. Right, so we'll run down the card for No Mercy, and this is kind of why... I've got this concerning feel for SmackDown at the minute. So your main event for the World Heavyweight title, Batista, your reigning defending champion, going up against Eddie Guerrero. Top-notch match.
Two big
stars, yeah? Undertaker versus Randy Orton and Bob Orton in a casket match. Top stars. US title, Benoit, Jordan, Christian, Booker T.
Couple of top stars. Ish. Someone who's going to be a top star in a different company.
Yeah.
And OJ.
Rey Mysterio versus JBL. The Legion of Doom win Christy Hemme versus Eminem, so the tag titles aren't even on the line. Simon Dean versus Bobby Lashley. Hardcore Holly versus Ken Kennedy, and for the Cruiserweight title, Nunzio versus
Hogan. When did this get announced?
Probably on Velocity. Yeah. This is the thing. So we've got a title match that we've not even spoke about for the last 3 weeks. We've had no interaction with any Mexicals, any FBI, anything like that. Hardcore Holly and Mr. Kennedy and Simon Dean and Bobby Lashley and Legion of Doom and Chris Demi versus Eminem, they are SmackDown matches. That's it. They're not pay-per-view. They're literally SmackDown.
Last time we saw, when we did the Velocity for, was it August, September?
Mm.
That was a lot of Mexicals and FBI.
That was the build-up. That was the storyline. The build-up was on Velocity. They're using that additional hour for your storylines, which is good.
Which is what you should be.
But they should also acknowledge it on SmackDown.
Yeah. Like, give them, like, fucking... Oh,
let's just give them 2 minutes of backstage segment just to confirm the match on Sunday. That's all they needed. Well, look at the Juice and
Lashley's jobber matches have been getting more time than the Cruiserweight title.
And look at when the Juice and Benoit had their build up to the US title match, where it was literally just a backstage segment that lasted a minute.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
So and the match lasted 20 seconds.
Yeah, but they could have done something like that with the Cruiserweight title. But yeah, I don't know if this is the future of SmackDown. Currently, I have concerns. But on that note, as always, Michael, if they don't know, let them know. Where can they find us on all the social medias?
On all forms of social media. We're on Facebook, X, or Twitter, if you're old
school. Break it down.
Insta, TikTok, YouTube.
TikTok.
Well,
give us a follow. That's about it. Insta. I say Insta. I don't think I've posted on there for donkeys. YouTube, I like to post a lot of videos on there, but they last for a minute and YouTube goes...
So you can get past the bots.
Most of our YouTube videos, they're blocked in like Afghanistan and Iraq. It's really weird. They can pass America and you know, your bigger markets, your England, Australia, Ireland, English speakers. But then for some reason, the videos, nope, you're blocked in 17 countries, but them countries are like Iraq, Iran, Sri Lanka, Bangladesh. It's very weird how YouTube algorithms. Yeah, it's weird how their algorithms work. Something somewhere offends somebody. On that note, this has been the Nip to No Mercy. I've been Dave. That's been Big Sexy. Until what I'm predicting now, the worst pay-per-view, and it's going to be an awfully miserable episode.
Peace out, people. As long as it takes to get what's mine.